The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Today, the U.S. women's national team plays a friendly against France, and our coverage will begin this afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern, on ESPN2. And, of course, all the action, as always, available on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to our studio and Get Up on ESPN. I'm Mike Greenberg, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are busy. Mel Kiper has a new mock draft. We'll get to that in just a moment, but we will begin with the performance of the night, and it was history-making for Steph Curry in Golden State. Nuggets, Warriors, San Francisco. Steph with a chance to pass Wilt Chamberlain to become number one on the franchise all-time scoring list. And with that three, late in the first quarter, he puts himself one bucket away, and then on the next possession, there it goes. An emotional night for Steph Curry, breaking the Warriors' all-time scoring record. He had 30 points in the first half, under 4 to go now in the third. Warriors still up 6. Look at Steph. Just bordering on unfair. The handles, the three. He was 10 of 18 from three-point range on the night. Under a minute and a half to go in the third. Warriors up 8. Ball will eventually find Steph. And as usual, Steph will find the bottom of the net. 53 points for Steph. On the night, he makes history. He becomes the Warriors' all-time leading scorer. And they knock off the Nuggets, 116-107.
It's been on my mind for a little bit just because it's, you know, been asked about it. I know the milestone was here. And, I mean, you throw Wilt Chamberlain, his name out in NBA history. That's unbelievable. But in Warrior history, to be at the top of that list, so many people that contributed to that, and it was a special moment for sure. I don't think it's really sunk in, but I'm going to enjoy that one.
Again, 53 points, passing Wilt. Actually, the Warriors' scoring record was the oldest franchise scoring record among active teams. He's the fourth player now to be a franchise's all-time leader in points and assists and three-pointers. Big night for Steph Curry. Meanwhile, we have a mock draft alert. You know, we love them on this show, and Mel Kiper's new one is available right now. Mock Draft 4.0. It's up on ESPN Plus, and here are the highlights. No surprise at the top. Trevor Lawrence, 1 to Jacksonville. Zach Wilson, 2 to the Jets. Those seem in stone. Mel also does see San Francisco, which traded up to the spot at number 3, taking Alabama quarterback Mac Jones. So that hasn't changed from the last mock, but this has. At 4 overall, Mel has the Dolphins trading up with Atlanta to take Florida's dynamically talented tight end Kyle Pitts. And with the 6th pick, Mel has the Falcons taking the North Dakota State quarterback Trey Lance. That leaves one of the big 5 quarterbacks on the board, and Mel has a trade involving him as well. New England moving up from 15 to 10 with the Cowboys, and the Patriots taking Ohio State's Justin Fields. As you take a look at the brand new top 10, according to Mel, you see Pitt sneaking in there at 4, Penei Sewell going 5, a couple of receivers, Jamar Chase and Devontae Smith. The one defensive player is Micah Parsons, but the big questions are all about Fields and the Patriots. And so, Mel, let's go as general as we can here. The idea that Bill Belichick has to do something in this draft, whether it's an aggressive move like this or another, the idea that he has to do something in this draft to address the quarterback position.
I think Fields is just so good, Greeny. And I think when you look at, if you put Justin Fields with another year at Ohio State in next year's draft, he's a number one pick overall. And I think that's the way you have to approach this. Yes, he's not a finished product. Yes, you need to work on some things with Justin Fields, but the talent is undeniable. The toughness, you cannot question. And the fact that I've always questioned about work ethic, passion for the game, I've heard he has all that. So to me, when you look at Justin Fields, what he did against elite competition, what he did when the pressure was on in that semifinal game, when he outplayed Trevor Lawrence, he answers the call every time people doubt and question him. So for me, for 2 football games in a COVID year, to hold that against him made no sense. If you can get him by moving up to 10 and you're New England, picking at 15, you're getting a guy who's as good as coming out of high school. Trevor Lawrence wasn't ready. And he beat Trevor Lawrence on that field in that semifinal game. So for me, he's the second best quarterback in the draft. If you can get the second best quarterback in the draft by trading from 15 to 10, you know, and ultimately the quarterback that does fall has turned out historically to be a lot better than some of the guys that went ahead of him, so or as good of, as the guys that went ahead of him. I think New England feel awfully good if they can get a Justin Fields at pick number 10.
Yeah, and I know the names you're referring to. Dan Marino was the sixth quarterback taken the year he went. Ben Roethlisberger, the third quarterback the year he went. We get all of that. But let me ask you this. He's having another pro day, which is tomorrow. Teams are coming, including San Francisco. At this stage of the game, could you see things change enough that suddenly we're no longer talking about Fields at 10, but maybe we're talking about Fields as high as 3?
I'd be surprised, Granny. I just really believe strongly when you have a quarterback that you're going from 12 to 3 up to get, you know who that guy is. And there shouldn't be any doubt that there's a player that we've identified that's perfect for what we do. That I don't care what anybody says, this is our guy. And I think you have to know that to make that monumental leap up from 12 to 3 and give up what the 49ers did. I think you still attend, and I think you also see, okay, let's see, make sure this might define more Mac Jones for them than it does, say, Justin Fields or get him into the discussion. Now, I'm not going to say it's no chance, Greeny, but I really believe, and I've always believed this, and with the quarterback position, you have to identify the guy. And if they're a couple equal, fine. But I don't think they made that move thinking that. So we'll see how it plays out. Everybody I talked to in the league thinks Mac Jones is the guy. I still like Justin Fields better, but that's me. That's not the consensus around the league. So in a mock draft, you can have to forget about your ratings completely and go with what you're hearing. And you're hearing Mac Jones at 3 and Justin Fields, the fifth quarterback taken.
Okay, and so every time Mel talks, so many questions jump into my mind. And for those of you just joining us here, Lewis Riddick is with us this morning. David Pollack and Jeff Darlington all get up early. Lewis, let me ask you about changing your mind like that. As we approach the draft, we're 2 weeks out. In your experience, have teams made up their minds? Can a team like San Francisco change its mind at this stage in the game?
Well, there's no doubt that they can change their mind. Look, I'll give you a great story about this, about how a team has changed their mind at the top of the draft in 2004. Now, this isn't a quarterback situation, but in 2004, and when I was with Washington and we drafted Sean Taylor, the night before the draft, we had Kellen Winslow Jr. ranked ahead of Sean Taylor. And we had a meeting the night before the draft, the entire personnel department, the entire coaching staff, all of us in a room, and it got heated now. It got heated as far as debating who was going to have the greater impact, who would have the greater career, which guy would present the best value for us picking that year. And when we left that room that night, Joe Gibbs wanted to draft Kellen Winslow Jr. The next day, when we came back, it was switched, and it was Sean Taylor, and we wound up drafting Sean Taylor, who was on his way to undoubtedly being a surefire Hall of Famer. So I'm not going to say that you can never say that it's set in stone. And in particular this year, and I'll tell you why, because of the fact that the information that teams are getting is coming in much later than normal, specifically, or rather in particular, medical information. Medical staff just got back from Indianapolis this past weekend as far as getting, you know, the medical info on the top 150 prospects. So there's many teams whose draft boards are very, very fluid at this point and may be fluid right up until the last minute. Now, that's not to say that San Francisco hasn't already made its mind and they've gotten all the information they need in order to pick the quarterback that they want. But don't rule out the fact that some of this stuff, look, these decisions are being made by individuals. They're being made by human beings. Human beings change their mind. Human beings aren't always particularly locked in as far as what they want to do. I don't care if it's the draft or otherwise. And especially with this year, with being some very unique circumstances, you always have to factor that into, you know, your thought process when you're trying to project whether what players these teams are going to take. And I believe Mel. Look, I believe Mel because we know the people who are saying that San Francisco is locked in on Mac. And you don't want to go against Morton Adam. If they say something, you pretty much should take it to the bank until they say something otherwise. But don't rule out the possibility that a team can flip their draft board, especially at the very top, at the very last minute, because I've seen it done personally.
Fair enough. And so, David, I've been waiting a while to ask you this question, because Mel just said it. He just said he has Justin Fields, the number 2 quarterback in this draft. I've had practically everyone on this show come on and tell me, well, I have Justin Fields, the number 2 quarterback in this draft. So how do you, David, as an evaluator, explain? However many people keep telling me Justin Fields is the second best quarterback in this draft, and yet everyone thinks he's going to be the fifth one taken.
Well, I don't agree that he's the second best quarterback. I think when Justin Fields is in the pocket and he's protected and he's comfortable and he knows where he's going with the football, elite accuracy, not just like good, elite, with the best of the best. He throws the ball so dang accurate where he wants to put it. I do have concerns about Justin Fields. When I look at Justin Fields, he hangs on to his first target a lot, and he throws it to his first target, but he's late sometimes too much for me, and so I see that. I also see 6'3", 200 and almost 30 pounds, and 4'4", and I think people go ahead and say with him, okay, well, he's a dynamic athlete, and he's going to extend plays and make all these plays like Russell Wilson. I think he's faster than he is quick. I don't see him, you know, real quick shimmy out of the pocket and make some of these elite plays that the 4'4 would indicate. So Justin Fields is a great player, and I think Mel hit it on the head. I do think he's exactly right. In another draft, he might be number one. This draft class at the quarterback spot is absolutely stupid, but I don't think he's in the top three at the quarterback position for the draft.
Fascinating. Mel, go ahead. Quick thought on that.
Yeah, I think going back even with what Lewis said about the, you know, the positions and all how fluid, but this is quarterback. And I think I look at that a lot differently than I do another position. I get what Lewis was saying about decisions made the night before the draft and draft morning, things change. But at quarterback, and I understand the Rivers and I understand the Eli Manning situation there when that trade was made. But I just think when you go from 12 to 3 and it's Mac Jones, if that's the guy, you got to know that that's the man you want. And I think if it was close, and maybe it was. Now, if it's Fields right there, with Jones, and they hadn't made that call, but we're good. We haven't figured it out. We love them both. We love both these guys, but we have to kind of figure that out. Then I'm with Lewis. But if they knew going in that, hey, this one guy is clearly defined, fine. And it seemed like Mac Jones was that guy. So you better have a clear understanding when you're going from 12 to 3, giving up what the 49ers did, that one quarterback is going to be perfect for what we do here.
And let me get Jeff Darlington in on this, because tomorrow Justin Fields is going to have another pro day and people are going to come and watch it. What is the significance of that in your mind?
Well, I think that the fact that Justin Fields was, first of all, willing to say to teams, hey, if you can't make our first pro day, I'll go ahead and do it again. And I mean, it wasn't like he underwhelmed. He ran a 4.440. He threw with solid accuracy and strength. So this is a situation where the 49ers were busy watching Mac Jones, and he said, hey, I'll throw an out. You guys want to come along? I'll throw some more passes. You can even script them for me. So I think it's a big deal that they're showing up to this, and I think that it at the very least keeps the 49ers intrigue open, even though, you know, everything that Mel is saying right now feels pretty dead on.
We'll see. Again, have they made up their minds? Can their minds be changed? We will wait and see. Tomorrow could be a very big day in this process. Meanwhile, we are just getting started for this hour. Coming up, would the 49ers be making a mistake if they take Mac Jones, or is he the perfect quarterback to take them back to the bowl? We'll discuss that coming up next. And he's never been shy about making a draft day trade. Does Jerry need to pull off another one? Should it be for offense rather than the D in Big D? We're talking about it right after this. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up as we unveil Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft. It's 4.0, and he has five quarterbacks going off the board. In the first 10 picks, Mac Jones, he projects to go number 3 to San Francisco. That has been in that spot now for quite some time, and one of the reasons is because it seems to make sense for the offense the 49ers have been running. Under Kyle Shanahan, 52% of the 49ers snaps are under center. That's the third highest in the league. 87% of passes come from the pocket. That's the sixth most in the league. And so this is intriguing to me as, again, Lewis, Mel, and David are with us this morning, because I've had people on this program, Lewis, many of them, in fact, say that Mac Jones is not good enough. He's just not as good enough a prospect to be taken that high and to be worth all they gave up to get him. So if someone were to suggest that in a draft room that you were sitting in, what would you say to that person?
Look, value is largely subjective. And I you know, when you're talking about quarterbacks in particular, okay, we've seen this happen before in terms of what we think is represents great value at the quarterback position based on what someone's traits are and what we feel as though they, what their ceiling ultimately, you know, should be, and then falter simply because some of the intangible things that you have to also factor into the equation just are not there. And look, I get the fact that Mac Jones is not, from a trait perspective, height, weight, speed, arm strength, ability to make unique plays, is not on the same level as Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields. He's not. He would tell you the same thing. But we also know this. Anybody, all the people who play football, all the people who talk about football, all the people who watch football, when you watch NFL games in particular, the reason why teams win and lose games is largely because of what's going on between the ears as far as decision making, and then your accuracy, your ability to pass the football with accuracy. Not just throw the football, but pass the football with accuracy. And look, I'll tell you what, I'll end it by saying this. Some very, very, very smart quarterback tutors and former offensive coordinators who coached at a very high level in the NFL have told me they believe Mac Jones is the best quarterback in this draft. Not just one that needs to be in the mix or that deserves to be in the mix outside of Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, but they believe as though ultimately he's the best quarterback because they're taking in the entire picture here. They're taking in all the information, not just how fast they are, not just how many different arm slots they can throw from, not just how many off-platform second reaction plays they can create, but based on how many smart decisions do they make in totality and how accurate are they with the football within the context of an offense as it's constructed. That's what wins football and loses football games at the NFL level. And if Kyle Shanahan believes Mac Jones gives them the best chance to get over the hump, then ride with it.
I get it. That makes sense. But Mel, I'll come back to you because I've been studying all this stuff now for weeks, getting set to host this thing. And like a month ago, Todd McShay put out his list of the best players in this draft, and he had Mac Jones 30th. So he's the 30th best player in the draft a month ago, and now he's the third pick in the draft. Explain how that makes sense.
Todd underrated him, and I think that's about a lot. That's his opinion, but I think he underrated him. He's probably moved him up since because boards do change. But I think when you look at Mac Jones, I think the difference to me is when you think about that Super Bowl when Patrick Mahomes looked like he was going to be beaten by the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo missed the throw. This is the thing. Accuracy to all levels for Mac Jones is off the charts. What he did at the Senior Bowl week, I was watching down there, but on TV you're saying a guy communicate the play to the huddle, the verbiage, in a blink. I mean, the cerebral approach of Mac Jones, how super intelligent he is and how incredibly accurate he is. This is a division, hey, with Russell Wilson, you got, you know, Matthew Stafford coming in and Kyler Murray. They feel like with the talent we have, and we can get a quarterback who can put the ball on those receivers. And he did it at Alabama, and he did it without Jalen Waddle healthy, and he did it without Ruggs, and he did it without Judy. They moved on. He didn't have a center for the biggest two games in this season in Landon Dickerson when it was being hurt, and yet he still was unbelievable. So I think Mac Jones, I think, like I say, we talked about Justin Fields answering the call. Mac Jones answered it every time this year as well.
And let me be fair to Todd. He was 28th, not 30th. I just looked it up to make sure. And leave it to you, Mel, to use any opportunity to take a shot at your buddy McShay. David Pollack, hey, the floor is yours.
I got to play the game because he does it all the time. So when I get a shot, I'm not going to swing and miss, believe me.
He's got him at 28th was in the original rankings. Go ahead, David.
It's crazy. Mel, he didn't have Waddle or Dickerson, but still had the best team on the planet. But that's okay. When I look at Mac Jones and when I see this QB debate, and when we start talking about this, I think it's interesting, but here's what I'll say about Mac Jones. He's already closer to his ceiling than these other guys are. If these other guys grow and continue to get better, they can pass and eclipse Mac Jones. But what Mac Jones has already shown you is he's already shown you he's ready. He's already shown you he can throw on time, with accuracy, read defenses. I think Mel mentioning the Senior Bowl was important because a lot of talent on both sides, you still go out there and learn, you still put the ball in the money. So I understand why there's this debate and why people look at Mac Jones that way. If I'm San Francisco, he's my guy, I believe that. I don't give a darn what Mel's mock draft says or Todd's or anybody else. I'm gonna do what's best for my team, and if that guy can leave me, so be it. But I do think when you look at ceiling and you look at all these guys, I'm going to put Mac Jones at 5 in this draft because those other guys can get to an insane amount with their arm talent, mobility, playmaking ability. But they will have to develop. Mac Jones, he's already developed and he's turned himself into a great prospect and a guy that's already closer to the ceiling than those other guys.
This is such a good discussion. It will continue.
Can I say one thing, Greeny?
Go ahead.
Peyton Manning had no ceiling, they said. He was in this room, in his house telling me, they said I had no ceiling.
Let me leave it there for the minute. This is obviously a great debate, and it will continue. We have a few other matters we have to get to here. Quickly, let me remind you, Wednesday night, we have an NBA doubleheader on ESPN and the ESPN app. It'll involve Kevin Durant and the Nets squaring off against Joel Embiid and the Sixers. That's at 7 Eastern. Then Luka and the Mavs taking on John Morant and the Grizzlies. That's 9:30 Eastern. All the action coming your way on ESPN and on the ESPN app. The NBA is expected also to soon decide whether to reschedule the Timberwolves and Nets game for this afternoon. The Timberwolves, along with the Twins and the Wild, postponed their games of yesterday following the deadly police shooting that sparked massive protests. 20-year-old Dante Wright was killed during a traffic stop in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center on Sunday night. Police were trying to arrest him on an outstanding warrant. During a struggle, police say an officer intending to fire a stun gun instead accidentally fired a handgun. Wright's death has led to 2 nights of protests with officers in riot gear clashing with demonstrators. Yesterday, the Twins decided to cancel their game with the Red Sox after consulting with Major League Baseball. Both teams had taken the field to warm up, and the national anthem was played before fans were told the game was off. A few hours later, the Timberwolves and the Wild called their games.
All of us, especially us in Minnesota right now, are tired in a lot of ways of having these types of conversations. And there's a huge disappointment and sadness when you have to wake up to these things.
I just know the frustration is a real thing for everybody and for us. And, you know, you keep hearing this cancel culture stuff, but, you know, we're canceling Black lives. And I think, to me, that's a little, you know, more important. In my opinion, and we just, it just keeps happening. We keep making mistakes on killing Black people.
It just makes you sick to your stomach. You know, it's, how many times does it have to happen? And, you know, it's as sick to our stomachs as we might feel. You know, that individual's dead. He's dead. And his family's grieving and his friends are grieving. And we just keep moving on as if nothing's happening.
Tensions were already high in Minneapolis due to the ongoing trial of a former police officer charged with the murder of George Floyd. Again, the NBA may try to play the game between the Nets and Timberwolves this afternoon to be in compliance with a curfew. The Twins and Red Sox are expected to start their series this afternoon. The Wild and the Blues will make up their game in May. We'll be right back. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. We are back on Get Up. And again this morning, we are unveiling Mel Kiper's latest mock draft. It's 4.0 and a move that stands out. Mel has the Falcons trading back to number 6. And at that point, taking the quarterback Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. Now, why might the Falcons be looking in that direction? Well, if you do look at Matt Ryan's numbers, going back to the 2016 season when he was the MVP and led them to the Super Bowl, his play has fallen off each season. As you see, it's fallen further down in the ranks in total QBR. And last year he finished 16th in the league in that metric. And so let me circle back here. And Mel, I will come to you. Take us through the thinking there on the Falcons taking Trey Lance, be it at 4 or 6 or wherever it is they get him.
A couple things. First of all, everybody seems to think that Lance is trying to move out of 4. Well, if that's the case, move down to 6 and don't lose the quarterback. You know, to me, Trey Lance, you think about next year's draft, we talk about Justin Fields, Trey Lance could be the number one pick had he gone back and played another year. Now you're in a division. I'm all about divisions. You cannot be 4th in your division at quarterback. Move forward. Tom Brady playing forever? No, he's not. Drew Brees, career over at New Orleans. Now they turn it over to somebody else. Sam Darnold's in Carolina is a 23-year-old quarterback I think can be really good. Now you get Trey Lance to be the heir apparent to Matt Ryan, who has, what, 2, maybe 3, but probably 2 years. Trey Lance has to redshirt this year. We know that he has to. What's the most important position in all team sports, guys? It's quarterback. And next year, there's nobody like Trey Lance in that draft. And unless you're going to pick number one in 2023, there's going to be nobody like Trey Lance. So if I'm Atlanta, it's a win-win. I got the 4th pick. Number one pick right now in the draft is at number 4. Move down and get the quarterback and let Miami go up and get Kyle Pitts.
David?
We're acting like Matt Ryan's 50. I mean, he's 35 years old. Tom Brady's 4,678 years old and still playing at a high level. I think Trey Lance is amazing. I think he's a bad mother, shut your mouth. But if I look at this roster and I look at the Falcons, you still got, Ridley on one side, Julio Jones on the other side. You put a Kyle Pitts, a Jamar Chase with this offense, good luck stopping them. I think Matt Ryan has good ball in front of him. You're paying him a ton of money. So I just think if I'm the Falcons right now, I look at the Carolina Panthers. They don't know who their quarterback is. You talk about the Saints with moving on without Drew Brees. Like, why can't I go win this division and be really good? I know Tom Brady's there, but Tom Brady, he's getting older, way older than Matt Ryan. So I look at the Falcons and I think, why don't I try to win now? So I don't necessarily think they've got to take Trey Lance or a quarterback right now at the top of the draft.
All right, so we have an interesting disagreement there between you two. Lewis, let me come to you because I was reading through your notes. Recommended reading. Anyone who ever is privileged to get Lewis's notes before our shows, just sit back some time and read them. They're fascinating. And you were talking in particular about fit when it comes to both Trey Lance and Mac Jones. And I'd love you to share some of your thoughts on that, particularly here with Lance.
Yeah, when you watch his tape from 2019, Greeny, and you watch how North Dakota State utilized 12 personnel, utilized formation shifts, pre-snap motion, play action, passing game. It looked like Arthur Smith was the offensive coordinator at North Dakota State based on how Arthur called plays at Tennessee and what he's going to do there in Atlanta. And Trey Lance adds an added dimension as far as his ability to run the football on design quarterback runs, design quarterback draws, quarterback powers, quarterback counters. I mean, this guy's a 1,000-yard rusher. On top of the fact that he is a deadly, deadly second reaction thrower, play action pass thrower, and pocket thrower. So when you're looking at the fit, it just looks to me like from a schematic standpoint, from a philosophical standpoint, he would go into Atlanta and right away be like, okay, yeah, we did this at North Dakota State. It was just called this. Yeah, we used that personnel grouping and used this play action passing, type of concept in North Dakota State. It was just called this. It just seems like it'd be something that would click automatically. And I can tell you this, knowing Arthur Smith for the past 15 years like I've known him, I stood up there at North Dakota State for a while and watched Trey Lance throw with him. I can tell you this, him and Terry Fontenot, the GM, they like Trey Lance. This is going to be an interesting pick for them because he sets them up for the future in a way that I believe none of the other quarterbacks do. And that's not to take anything away from Justin Fields or anyone else. I just think this fit is perfect for what they want, what they're going to do based on what Arthur has done in the past.
Later, I want to talk about them, the fit in San Francisco, because I continue, Mel, I you've heard me say it a million times. I continue to think San Francisco will seriously consider taking Lance at 3. In the meantime, let's talk about some of the quarterbacks we don't talk about all the time. So, Mel, as I look further down your mock draft and your buddy Todd, McShay believes that in the second round, Kellen Mond from Texas A&M will go at 51 and Kyle Trask from Florida will go at 52. You, Mel, only have one quarterback going in the second round, and that's Davis Mills from Stanford. So completely different situations. I personally find Mills, Mel, to be one of the most intriguing prospects in this entire draft. For people who don't know who he was the number one quarterback recruit coming out of high school the year that he came out of the state of Georgia. He's only started 11 games. But Mel, is he someone's future, some team that doesn't need a quarterback immediately, Does he have a chance to become the best quarterback in this whole draft or one of them?
Well, I think it's a little rich in the second round for me, but I think that's where it's trending. And Davis Mills, the guy David Shaw had a high, very high opinion of. I saw David after the draft a few years ago, and I asked him about Davis Mills. If that, Mike, he's going to be really good, Mel. And I think you look at 11 career starts only, but you're talking middle of the second round. Could Tampa Bay take him at the end of the first? I thought about it. I've heard from people like maybe that could happen. So I do think it looks like Davis Mills will be the sixth quarterback taken. I will say this. I talked to people in the league, and they said, okay, it seems like the media is a little higher on Kellen Mond than Kyle Trask, and some of us are. We'll see if that plays out. I don't talk to 32 teams, only talk to a few, but I think Kellen Mond and Kyle Trask maybe drop a little further. Keep in mind, Kirk Cousins went in the fourth round and Dak Prescott went in the fourth round, so the second round for those two I think is a little high.
Yeah, Russell Wilson went in the third. I mean, there's a lot of good quarterbacks there. Super quickly, Mel, I made the prediction on the show the other day here. I think some team might trade back at the end of the first round, who could be anybody, trade back to the end of the first round to take Davis Mills. Could you see something like that? Because teams like that fifth year with a quarterback.
They could, and that was brought up. I said I almost gave him to Tampa Bay at the end of the first. Almost gave Tampa Bay a quarterback at the end of the second. Could have been Kyle Trask or Kellen Mond, but thought otherwise. So I'm with you. It's just a mixed opinion on a lot of the quarterbacks. I do think Davis Mills, though, is settling in to be the sixth quarterback off the board somewhere in round two.
David Pollack, a lot of people watching this show have never seen Davis Mills play. Tell us about him.
I mean, just you talked about already, he was the number one high school recruit back in 17, but big, tall kid, 6'4", 215 pounds, sneaky athletic. He always wore a knee brace when he was at Stanford, so you didn't see the mobility, but you did when he ran his 40. He blazed his 40 at his pro day. So, listen, big, strong, can make all the throws. Obviously, when you go to Stanford, you're smart. You know he can read defenses. You know he's running offense that's going to have a ton of verbiage that can translate to the next level. So I do. I think a guy like or Pittsburgh Steelers, somebody like that that needs a quarterback for the future, this is a guy that I would look to in the second round to start building my future for.
And so that's a guy for the future. Lewis, how about if you needed someone to play sooner than that? I'm thinking of Chicago and maybe some other teams that could be thinking about drafting a quarterback in this draft who might be able to play for them sooner than that. Which of the, once you get past the first five, which of those do you think is would you be taking if you were looking for someone to play quickly?
Yeah, look, I love Davis Mills. I didn't know what to expect when I turned on his tape, and I was blown away. I was watching him at like 2:30 in the morning, sitting there tweeting about it, going, who the hell is Davis Mills? And why don't I know about Davis Mills? Why am I all of a sudden now at 2:30 in the morning being the loser I am sitting up that late watching tape by myself? Why am I getting all excited about this guy? And it's simply because of the fact that everything that you see him do within Stanford's offense, again, you're seeing being done on the in the NFL on Sundays, and he's doing it at a very, very high level as far as working from under center, working from the gun, 3-5-7 step drops, rolling out left and right, throwing the ball with touch, with accuracy, with zip. And you know what? Later, last game of the year, they play UCLA, or later in the year, and they're losing this football game. And in large part, it's because of Davis Mills. He had thrown a pick six in that game. He threw three interceptions. He came back and led them to a win in that game where he's just absolutely firing strikes. And I'm going, not only does he have athletic ability and does he have natural quarterbacking ability, but he has resilience and fortitude too. And anybody who's been coached by David Shaw in that system, I'm a fan of automatically, right off the bat. So this guy, I believe, is someone who I think the NFL is hip to him, but I think the public in general, they better start getting hip to him because his name's going to be thrown around a lot.
I'm doubling down. He is going to be a first-round pick, end of round one this year, Davis Mills from Stanford. Meanwhile, let me run the floor. Some NBA action from last night. And actually, bad news here. It's kind of scary for the Nuggets. Their star point guard, Jamal Murray, went down in pain, injuring his left knee. You'll see it here on a drive to the bucket in the final minute of a loss to the Warriors. Murray and the Nuggets will wait on MRI results to determine the severity of the injury. We should get that sometime today. Elsewhere, following a huge night on Sunday, Zion Williamson continues his hot streak, scoring 30 as the Pelicans beat the Kings. Brandon Ingram had 34. Pels held off De'Aaron Fox's 43 points for a 7-point win. And last night on ESPN, Joel Embiid out-battled Luka Doncic. Embiid with the win, scoring 36. Sixers win at 113-95. And with that win, they take a half-game lead atop the Eastern Conference standings over the Brooklyn Nets. Coming up, Jerry's draft dilemma. We know Dallas needs help on D, but is it possible they go the other way? We'll tell you next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up as we reveal Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft. We call it a draft 4.0, and he has a bunch of trades, including this one that's brand new. The Patriots and the Cowboys with a deal in the first round. The Pats would move up from 15 to 10, leaving the Cowboys at 15, taking cornerback J.C. Horn. Another of our draft insiders, Matt Miller, yesterday had these thoughts on who Dallas should be moving up for rather than moving back.
You trade up for Kyle Pitts if you could get him. I said it last week. This would be the best offense in the NFC if Kyle Pitts is there with Amari Cooper. All the talent they have, Michael Gallup, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott coming back healthy. I know what my lineman friends are going to say here. They have 10 picks in this draft class, guys. 10.
So that was Matt with us yesterday. Our crew is back with us here today. And let me come to Jeff Darlington on this first and foremost. Jeff, which would you – how would you assess the likelihood if the Dallas Cowboys are going to be involved in a trade there in the first round on them moving up to take someone like Pitts rather than them moving back to stay with defense?
Greeny, I certainly understand the theory and the idea that Jerry Jones would do something crazy like move up. We talk about it seemingly every year, but I think what we also wind up discussing and concluding is that Jerry Jones winds up getting in the war room on the day of the draft and has Stephen Jones, his son, there to kind of cool him off and say, Jerry, you can't do that, dad, whatever he calls him. You can't do that. You can't give up your whole draft to go get Kyle Pitts when we need to build this defense. We can't give up all that ammunition that we have, not to mention not pick a defensive player at 10 overall. So generally speaking, what I find historically to happen is that Jerry Jones becomes infatuated, romanticizes about picking a player at that spot, and ultimately conforms to the rest of the war room and says, okay, we'll do the smart thing here.
Now, David, I see the smile on your face. Here's what I want to ask you, because I feel like there's probably a lot of people out there in America that also haven't really seen a lot of Kyle Pitts, or certainly haven't studied the tape of him the way the rest of us in this conversation have. And they could be thinking, could he really be that good? All of a sudden, in the last couple of weeks, people are acting like Kyle Pitts is the best player to come into the draft in years. Tell everyone who hasn't seen him, David, why teams are so excited about this player.
Oh, he's Freaky Friday. Whether it's a wide receiver position, guess what he did in the SEC? Run by all the cornerbacks. Not linebackers, cornerbacks. He's running by cornerbacks. And if he doesn't by chance run by you, his wingspan is like an offensive tackle, for God's sake. You just throw it up and he plucks it out of the air. So he's a good enough blocker. But listen, I also think you need a good fit when it comes to an offense, because you can't just line him up at tight end and leave him there. That would be stupid. This dude is an absolute freak that can win outside, inside. Do you know how deep, and Lewis could speak to this greatly, do you know how hard it is as a defense to say, okay, he's a tight end this play, next he's in the slot, next he's out wide? Like, you can't adjust your whole defense every single play and always put your best player on him when people move him around all the time. So this dude, I've never seen, listen, I haven't been around the game like Mel and Todd and these guys, but I haven't seen him, a guy like this at the tight end position, come out. He's running 4-4 with 6'5 height, and I mean, that speed and that ability to run routes and catch the football, it's silly, man. It's silly.
Another reminder that in college, he lined up as a tight end. He lined up as a slot receiver. He lined up outside the numbers. So he does have the ability to do all those things. So, Lewis, as you assess him, like, how, if you're a team and you've got some options here, I mean, how tempting is it? How would you describe the temptation to say, this guy's a unicorn, he's one of one, I'm doing whatever I have to go up and get him?
It's very tempting because he is, look, the NFL is about matchups, and he is a matchup problem. You don't have 6'4", 6'5", corners and safeties who run 4-4. There isn't a single one in the NFL who moves like this guy, who you could say, well, this is a guy who we can kind of neutralize him with. That's why offenses try to get people like this, because they know you have a hard time defending them. But, you know, there's a big difference between collecting talent and building a football team and building a roster. And in Dallas, they have plenty of weaponry on the perimeter in Dallas. Having done them on Monday Night Football last year, they were awful on the interior of their offensive line. They couldn't protect the quarterback. They could not protect the quarterback. They could not capture the line of scrimmage because, one, they couldn't stay healthy, and, two, their depth was terrible. On the defensive side, do you remember what the Cleveland Browns did to them running the football on the defensive line? Do you remember how bad they were up front? Do you remember how bad they were rushing the passer? You remember they couldn't stop anybody. So there's this conundrum, right, that they have. They have a very unique asset here at wide receiver slash tight end slash just overall weapon versus what do we need for this football team so we can win games, win our division, be contenders in the NFC. Do we just sit pat? Do we move up? What do we do? See, that's the dilemma here. Do they think he's that unique that they can forego addressing the offense or defensive line and building this team front to back? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out here in a couple of weeks.
But what they should do is take defense. It'll be a lot more fun, however, if they go the other direction. We'll see. It'll be fun tonight. In baseball, we got a Tuesday night doubleheader coming your way. We got the Phillies and the Mets. They're in action starting at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And then our West Coast game has the Reds and Giants scoring off. That's game two of their three-game set. All the action tonight on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, much more from Mel's Mock, where he sees Justin Fields going, why that's so interesting, and why it could make all the difference. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Today, the U.S. women's national team plays a friendly against France, and our coverage will begin at 3 Eastern on ESPN2, and it's available on the ESPN app. First Take, meanwhile, is coming up in just a few minutes. After Steph Curry passed Wilt Chamberlain as the Warriors' all-time leading scorer, Max, Stephen A., and Molly will debate whether Curry or Wilt has had a bigger impact on the NBA. That's First Take, and it's coming your way in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, we've been talking about Mel Kiper's latest mock draft 4.0. We revealed it here this morning, and as you see, he's got Justin Fields going 10 to the Cowboys. That would be in a trade he's projecting with the New England Patriots. And so in the moments that we have left, I just sort of want to finish it up with this. And Mel, Justin Fields has scheduled a second pro day for tomorrow. Trae Young has scheduled a second pro day as well. In your opinion, how significant are those? How much could change based upon what happens in those pro days?
I don't see a lot changing. I know you think, okay, in a year like this, you hold it out till the end and you wait it out. But I just think that the decision's made. And I think when you look at where Justin Fields is going to go, that was the tough one for me. Who goes up and gets Justin Fields? And I thought about Denver. You think about New England moving up with Dallas. Well, Washington, Chicago. Who's going to make that move to get Justin Fields? And I think it's going to be somebody trading, not somebody taking at a spot that they're selecting right now. And that was the whole challenge when you do a mock draft, is finding the right team to make a bold move like that.
Again, Jeff Darlington, you made the point. These teams are going to these pro days for a reason, right? What can you tell us?
Yeah, I understand part of that is just to dot the I's, cross the T's, but I do think that there's a due diligence being done, and Lou pointed that out early in the show. People change their minds. That's part of human nature, so that's the beauty of the draft and the intrigue that comes with it. Yes, it feels like teams are headed in a certain direction. I will be fascinated to see if that changes in the coming weeks.
Well, so, Lewis, if you're the person making these decisions, what could change? What could you go with all the work you've already put into this? Now you go to Justin Fields and you see him on the field in person. Like, what are you looking for?
Look, with Justin, there's really nothing else he can show you on the field. The kid's a phenomenal athlete. He's a phenomenal thrower of the football. He showed it in the first pro day, although San Francisco wasn't represented by Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, although Adam Peters, who's another significant player in the personnel department, was there during that first pro day. I was standing right near him, so I saw him. There's nothing that really is going to change other than, you know, maybe Kyle asked Justin to execute a couple throws that are very specific to his offense. But if they like them, they're going to love him. If they like his tape, they're going to love him in the workout. If they didn't like his tape, then it's not going to really matter what he does in the workout because it's not indicative of what he can do on a football field anyway. So I do believe that they are probably largely far down the road as far as making their decision about this, about who they're going to pick. And you can argue for either him or Mac Jones or Trey Lance for that matter, because they all have tremendous, tremendous things going for them that will help them win football games in San Francisco. We're just going to have to wait and see who Kyle ultimately wants.
A reminder, Mac Jones and Alabama did have two pro days, and now Fields and Lance will have their seconds. David, what will the team see when they go to these pro days and see Fields and Lance? What will they see?
I mean, big, strong, good-looking human beings that can sling the football. So I think that you're going to like what you see. If you're crazy, you don't think they won't like what they see. But listen, what this all boils down to and what Lewis just said, are you a bass? Are you a treble? Like, what do you like? What's your flavor? What's your thing, bro? Like, what really pushes you over the top for these guys? So I think that that's what they're going to be deciding. And some people are going to like the cerebral, the I can process, I can get rid of the ball quick, I can do X, Y, and Z. Some people like the ability to flare and create and the QB to run the football. So all these quarterbacks, we're lumping them all together. They all have strengths, they all have weaknesses, but we're going to figure out what's important for San Francisco and what's important for all these teams drafting.
Mel, in 10 seconds, it's a new world. Teams drafting for fit that high, it's something we have not traditionally seen.
Yeah, I'll go back, Randy. When that trade was made, San Francisco going 12-3, I had heard from people in the league that it was going to be Mac Jones or Trey Lance. I did not hear Justin Fields' name. So that was a couple weeks ago, and I don't think much has changed since.
All right, we will see. Again, the entire mock draft, two rounds. Mel Kiper 4.0 is available on ESPN Plus right now. Guys, thank you all for getting up with us. What a great day it's been. Thank you for getting up with us. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.